This passage of scripture today that I've read to us ends with words that are some of my favorite uttered by our Lord Jesus. Such words of hope, of reassurance, of comfort, and grace. Jesus says here in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, "Come to me, all of you who are weary, who are carrying heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, for you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light." Friends, for me throughout my journey in life and faith and family, when there are times when I've been a little down in the mopes, or let's be real honest today, a lot of down in the mopes, maybe stressed out or even depressed with the challenges of life and the grief of family, this scripture has been specifically words of comfort to me, where Jesus said, "Come to me and I'll give you rest." Well, I want to be very genuine with my heart appeal today and say I'm grieved. I'm grieved for the loss of my dear friend, Jimmy Hopper, a pillar in our community, in our church. My heart is heavy and it's broken for Pat and Amy and that family. I'm grieved also for my Uncle Danny, who's facing brain cancer, and my beloved friend Ray Gillard, both of them, this debilitating disease. My heart is breaking for their families. I am grieving and hurting. I find comfort in these words this day. And I'm also grieving on this 4th of July weekend, where we celebrate our independence, our freedom, our liberty, and yes, I still believe the greatness of our nation, the greatest country in the world. I'm grieving also for even the brokenness in the midst of our greatness in our land. I grieve for the disunity, for the pain in our land, and I search for healing. I hold on to those words where Jesus proclaimed to us and quoted even scripture that if we turn back to him, he will restore us as his children. He yearned even for the people Israel. "Oh, how I would yearn to bring you in like a mother hen and protect you from your peril." So friends, in this day in my grief, I hope that we all embrace the words of life of our Lord of how do we grieve in a healthy way? How do we respond to adversities in our health, as we've talked about, pandemics in our world, brokenness in our country? How do we respond to those in ways that bring healing and hope to us in our journey? We see Jesus challenges us subtly this morning. You have to listen closely to hear it. I don't know about y'all, but one of my temptations when I'm faced with a challenge or brokenness or where people aren't getting along or when someone's offended me or treated me poorly, I don't know about y'all, but one of my great temptations is to be critical of the other and not so much look at my own actions. You know, I'm reminded of the story of a group of cowboys who were working out on the range, and one specific old cowboy had been the cook for years, and he was ready to get rid of the job. And he was tired of them complaining about his food, complaining that he didn't give enough variety and spice it just right. So he told them one day, he said, "I tell you what, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of hearing y'all's complaining. The next time I hear somebody utter one word of complaint, I'm finished and the job is yours. So that night he even set them up. He made some soup and he took his salt container and he poured about half of the whole, a container of salt into the soup. Well, that night they sat down around the fire and the first rugged cowboy took a bite of that salty soup and pooh, he spit it out. He said, "That is the saltiest soup I've ever eaten in my life. Just the way I like it." You see, that little story reminds us of the temptations we face when things are a little salty in their world, when they're not the way we want them. Our tendency at times can be like the cowboy to complain, but we really don't want the job to fix it. He was unwilling to take up the spoon and become part of the solution. Well, friends, Jesus says in our text today, did you hear it? That kind of confusing text where he talks about the people where he's ministering. He said, "Y'all are so critical. John came, he fasted. He didn't fellowship, he didn't feast, he didn't drink any wine. He was a weirdo in your mind, you thought. And then I came fellowshipping with tax collectors and maybe even had a glass of wine every once in a while. Not as much as a Presbyterian preacher's wife, but a little bit of wine every once in a while. And you called me a drunkard." He said, "You don't do anything but complain. You're not part of the solution. You're critical of everything that anybody's trying to do to make things better, especially me as the Lord of life." So Jesus challenges those people, and I hear that challenge today too, that as I grieve the world we live in, as I grieve family and friends who are facing challenges, what can I do to be part of the solution? Well, you know, one of my other favorite beautiful passages of Scripture today also is in Romans 8, and many of us know that text and portions of it, where Jesus says, God works for good in all things for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. You know, when I reflected on that text this week, I thought of that word purpose in a new way. What is our purpose in life? Well, you know, I'm not even going to begin to try to act like I know the mind of God and what our true purpose is. I know that the great teachers in times past from our catechism said the great end of man is to love God, to glorify Him, and enjoy Him forever. But what is our purpose on this world? Well, you know, one purpose I think that God's called us to is to make this world better than we found it. Isn't that beautiful? You know, many of us grew up here with parents and loved ones who told us just that. I remember my parents teaching me even from a young age, "Jody, if you ever borrow something, take it back better than you found it," right? You want to take it back in a condition better than it was given to you. I remember this too. My Uncle Larry, as I was preparing to get married as a young man, he said, "Son, I want to give you some advice that my daddy-in-law, Mr. Pierce Jackson, gave me, a wonderful, wise man of the faith, Mr. Pierce." Mr. Pierce said this, "Son, I tell you what, marriage, some people think it's 50-50. And he said, "It's not 50-50. It's got to be 100-100. He said, "Here's why it's 100-100. Because if you're striving with all your heart to give everything you've got to that marriage, every once in a while, you're going to blow it. And you're not going to give your 50%. You see, if we're not both giving 50%, we're not going to reach 100. But if we both strive for 100, when one of us falls short, the other one will pick up the slack." You see, both of those stories remind me this. The call to our faith, friends. The call, like our parents taught us to take things back better than we found them. The call to Mr. Jackson to give more than just your part in the marriage. That makes sense in our marriages, in our relationships with our fellow man. Well, friends, those are the things that make purpose in this life. That's, I believe, how we make this world better than we found it. It's embracing what we pray in the Our Father prayer. Lord, help your kingdom to come. When we bring God's kingdom to earth, that's us making earth better than we found it. How do we do it? We don't do it, dear church, by practicing the golden rule. The golden rule. The golden rule of doing unto others as they've done unto you. No, our call is to do unto others better than they've done to you. To do unto others as God has done unto you. To do unto others with a love and grace that is built from on high. That, my dear friends, is the way we live our life with purpose and make the world a better place. See, Jesus calls in this text the people who he'd ministered to repentance. He calls them to turn back to him. And friends, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things I have to repent from is when I want to think the problems in the world is the other person's fault. So quick, I'm quick to judge and figure out what are they doing wrong? What do they need to do to get their house in order, their life in order? No, friends, repentance starts with me and my house. What am I doing to our land that's not restoring it? And what can I do to make more of reflection of God's love in the world around us? I'm part of the solution when I embody a commitment to live for the other the way God loved me. That's what I want to repent of today. And I think that's the essence of Jesus' sermon in our text today when he says, come to me if you're weary. Come to me if you're grieving as family members suffering the loss of a loved one. Come to me if you're grieving on this 4th of July weekend for the brokenness in our land. Come to me and take my yoke upon you. He said, learn from me. Because here's the nature of our Lord. He is gentle and humble. Friends, if we want to bring healing to our land, if we want to bring healing to the relationships that are divided in our community and among those who God created in his image, may we be gentle and humble. May we love beyond what the other deserves, for that's the love that saved us from our sin and represents Christ in our world. That's the only hope for our land and for our joy. But here's the rest of the story, friends. Not only does Almighty God call us to be part of the solution through his love, but he also, dear church, helps us in our weakness. Aren't we all grateful for those times when we come upon that beautiful scripture where it says to us, we don't even know how to pray as we ought, as Paul said to the church in Philippi. But God helps us in our weakness and gives us the very words to pray. Well, friends, as we seek to live out God's kingdom on earth, as we seek to be less judgmental of those we disagree with, as we seek to let love rise to the top and not hate and payback and restitution, as we seek to be part of restoration in our land, may we know not only does God call us to that, but God equips us to that. He says, take my yoke and let me carry the load for you. You know, I'm reminded as I near the end of this message today of a story my friend Mike Armour told me once. I recently distributed a new book. I'm through writing, hopefully forever. Just finished a book on the People's Bank of Ripley and their leadership, and my friend Bobby Martin, and he'll be distributing those privately for a while and then publicly later on. But one of the stories in that book I was grateful for, and Mike Armour told me that as he was the head of his alumni association for Mississippi State and Tupelo, Mr. Martin challenged him to raise their funds, to increase their scholarships. And Mike said, yeah, I really wanted to do that too, but I didn't know how to do it. And he said the beautiful thing in Mr. Martin's challenge, he didn't just challenge me to improve, he helped me to improve by contributing to the cause as well. You see, friends, when we embrace that type of nature, we're not judging the separation, the brokenness, the accountability that we want to hold others to. No, we're helping to be part of the solution. Well, friends, will you receive with me today that that's the nature of our Lord Jesus? He calls us to our best life. He calls us to be part of making this world a better place, to helping His kingdom come to earth. But not only does He call us and He doesn't simply condemn us, but He equips us. He says, if you'll trust me, if you'll come to me when you're weary, if you'll come to me when you're carrying heavy burdens, if you will come to me, then I will give you rest. And not only that, but take my yoke and allow me to take your yoke, and I will lighten your load and strengthen you through my love in this time of grief, and into the joy that's forevermore. Let's pray together. God, we are grateful that you call us to make this world more representative of your kingdom in heaven. That's our purpose in life. To be part of your solution, to comfort each other in our grief, and as we grieve brokenness, be part of restoration. We thank you, O God, for your church, and we pray your blessing upon it. We thank you for this wonderful land we live in, and we ask that you draw us all back to you, that we will be quick to love our neighbor beyond what they've done to us, but love them in the way that you've loved us. We pray, O God, for the weak and the sick, the grieving and the hurting, for our family members who have lost their intimate partners, for our parents who are concerned for children and children concerned for parents. Will you bring healing and wholeness through your love and life? Will you hear our prayers now, God, for each other and with one another as we pray for restoration from illnesses, whether it be physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, or relational? Oh, God, you are the physician that brings healing and hope to us all. And now, oh, God, with the confidence of being your children, because you've saved us by your grace and claimed us through your love, we say together the very words in prayer you taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.